Well, good morning. Preacher, this is a tough-looking crowd here. Yeah. Vernon McGee once wrote, he said, when a farmer prays for a good crop, God expects him to say amen with a hoe. Okay. Pastor, about 2 months ago, asked if I would be praying about helping with Sunday school and children's church. And so we've been praying about it, and we've said that we would try to help, hopefully not hinder. And so we have, I'm sorry, I'm watching my wife back there. She looks like she's okay now. She's got a nosebleed, so I'm making an example over here. Anyway, we are going to be starting Patch next week. And we wanted to clarify some of the times and things like that, and a little bit about what Patch is. Patch will be during the preaching service hour. It'll start at 10:45 and go till 12 o'clock or whenever the preacher lets out, 12:31. No, it'll start at 10:45. And what Patch is, we'll be setting sail on a world adventure. And what this world adventure is for the young people is they're seeking treasure. And ultimately what that treasure is Jesus Christ. And the program, you'll be hearing phrases like ahoy, sailor, or ahoy, captain. And you'll be hearing songs about Christ being sung. And hopefully it'll be an exciting venture for our young people. Like I say, we'll have two sections of it. We'll have Pee-wee Patch, and they'll be in a smaller boat. And their ages is 3 to 5. So if you've got young people that are ages 3 to 5, bring them out. It will start same time, 10:45. It'll be right after Sunday school is when it'll be. And it'll be downstairs in one of our Sunday school rooms. And then we have the regular Patch, which is ages 6 to 11. And we encourage everybody to come out and be a part of that. If you've got family members, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, neighbors, we encourage you to spread the word, because this program is really well designed. And we've been a part of it. Penny and I had the privilege of being a part of it a few years ago. And it's got songs, it's got lessons, it's got activities, and they're all Christ-centered, and they are an opportunity for our young people to learn Scripture, to learn more about Christ, and learn that Christ is the most important thing in their life. And as I said earlier, the treasure that they'll be seeking, because they're called Patch the Pirates, the treasure that they're seeking, is all pirates seek treasure, as we said earlier, is Jesus Christ. And it's to set a foundation for them. It teaches them how to have devotions at home, to spend time with God. And it's just a really solid program. And so I'm here to share that idea with you and to encourage you to bring the young people out. As the pastor said, that's one of the two things that you can do. And you asked what the other thing is. I'm glad you asked that. We are in need of some captains and first mates. Now, to define that, if you're not used to sailor terms, the captain would be the leader of the class, and the first mate would be the helper. Okay. Now, this can be adults. It can be teens, young adults. If you're interested in being a part of this, we encourage you to step forward, and you'll love it. It's a lot of fun. And the pastor's been preaching over, he's mentioned it several times, about our little ships, our young people. And folks, that's the future of the church, for one thing. And the second thing is, they've got an eternity to spend somewhere. And if we can share Christ with them and get them saved, then we know where their eternity is. And that's the most important thing, that they can make a decision. It's the most important thing we can do is to help them get there. So we can use Angie and Jackie have stepped forward. They're going to be a team. We have openings for a couple more teams. What our idea is since it's during the preaching service, we'd love for the people that are doing the leadership of it not to have to miss more than a couple of Sundays a month of the preaching. We ask that if you can give us a week a month or 2 weeks a month as a captain or a first mate, we would be thrilled to have you be a part of the team. We've got Pee Wee Patch right now. We don't actually have anybody stepping forward yet to take the reins for even one team. So they may have to put up with Penny and I. So we encourage you to come out, okay? But it's a wonderful program. It's during the preaching service. Our young people will be learning about Christ. They'll be getting rooted in the Word of God. And it's just an exciting time. They have programs once a quarter that they'll be sharing what they're learning with the congregation, probably during fifth Sunday of each quarter. So we just encourage you to be a part of it. And again, the kickoff is this coming Sunday at 10:45. We hope you'll bring the young people out. We'd love to have a big crowd to get things started. So we do appreciate your time. Okay.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Tim. I'm always excited about when folks will do something. When I asked Brother Tim, he said, "Well, I've never been involved in that part of it before, but he's willing to step out." I'm pleased. I think they're doing a tremendous job of this new program. And so, praise the Lord. If you want to turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 16. About preaching, and I don't know if I've ever preached a message out of this passage. I've alluded to it quite often. Turn with me to chapter 16. We'll start reading at verse 25. Would stand with me in honor of reading God's word. And at midnight, Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings, your mercy and grace. And Father, we thank you for the shaking power of God. And Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. And we pray this morning that you'll use it to stir our hearts and encourage us. And Lord, that we'll be encouraged and ready to go out and work for you. And Lord, we love you today and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach you a message: is when God rocks the jail. When God rocks jail. Now, Elvis Presley thought a few years ago that he had the original jailhouse rock. It started in Philippi. It started a long time before Elvis was ever thought about. But I want to, thinking about now, we know that it'll kind of get us up to snuff the way we've been back and forth. But Paul and Silas had now is on Paul's second missionary journey. And they, the Holy Spirit, they went to Troas. It forbade them to go up in modern-day Turkey. They went to Troas. Paul had a Macedonian, a vision of a man from Macedonia, said, come over. So they departed, went over into what we know now of modern-day Greece is the area they went up in. And so they was in Neapolis, and then they've come over in to Philippi. And this is where they are now. And God's moving and doing great things. They had a convert. Lydia was converted. And so we see things was going good. Well, as they was in Lydia, there was a girl kept following them around. And she kept saying, these men are servants of God that's come to show us the way of salvation. It was day after day. She kept on, well, Paul must have been kind of like me, easy to get aggravated sometimes. He turned around and rebuked her and cast the demon out of her. Well, when he did that, that girl's owner got real mad because he was using her to make a lot of money and foretell in the future. So when Paul cast the demon out of her, whoa, it was bad. It was a big uproar. They brought him before the council, and they drug him in the middle of town, and they were beaten. The magistrates beat him, and then now they have took him and hauled him in. They got stripes. I'm not going to get into it, but the wording, the way it is, the law was that you could just hit 40 lashes, but one less. In this wording, they believe that he got more than that. They were beaten, they were brought in, they were put in stocks. Stocks was a piece of wood that was made, pieces of wood, and they were brought out. And the idea was to stretch your legs out as far as you could and put in the holes and put them in. So their hands were tied, they were in these stocks, their back was lashed, they was laying in prison. Okay, that's where we are. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Probably couldn't even set up the way that their legs were. They were probably on their backs, laying, where they'd been beaten and blood running out of them. And first point I put down, I kind of put a little bit of humor in it. They wasn't singing the blues. It wasn't the blues. It wasn't I'm in prison. I'm in jail. Got nobody to go my bail. They wasn't singing the blues. They were singing praises, praying and singing praises unto the Lord. That word singing praises means a hymn or a religious ode, but good old gospel hymns. Praise the Lord. That reminds me of a woman that they had a competition, and they said whoever give the most money, they was trying to raise money, that person could pick their favorite hymn for the next Sunday. Pick the three hymns. So there's a woman who wrote a check for $1,000. Nobody could touch it, and a little elderly lady got up, and they said, okay, you get to pick three hymns. And she said, I'll take him, him, and him. But we looking at the hymns, and they were singing praises unto the Lord. When it was midnight, when it was dark, we know that midnight, how discouraging it can be. In the book of Exodus 11:4 said, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight I'll go out into the midst of Egypt. And we think of midnight of being the deepest, darkest despair and being and so discouraging. How discouraging would it be to be laying in jail? You can't even walk. You've got your feet. You got your hands locked up. You've been beaten. The blood's running down your back. You're thrown in the middle of the jail, tucked into the deepest, darkest, probably the dungeon. You're under maximum security, and it just really looks bad for you. Glory, hallelujah. But I could hear them chains rattling when they started singing praises and them hands started going up. Boy, I tell you what. See, Paul and Silas rocked that jail. They rocked it with the praises of the Lord. And there's a verse in there that I just love. And it says, and all the others heard them. See, I'm going to share something with you right here. When you are in your tough times, when you're in your valleys, when you're in your trials, your peers are watching you and listening to you. They're watching. And these peers and these other prisoners, they said they're in worse shape than we're in, and they're praising the Lord. They're singing. Their hands are raised. What's going on with those two over there? Maybe they've been, well, I don't know why they're in here. They must be drunk. They've been accused of it before. Boy, I like it when you get some of that new wine, don't you? But and the psalmist said in 119:62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. At midnight, when it's the bleakest, when I don't know what to do, I don't know which way to turn, it just looks like everything's going away, I'm going to praise you anyway. Because I know who you are. I know what you've done in the past. And I know that you brought me out of the jail and the dungeon at midnight before. And I think you're going to do it again. Amen. Praise the Lord. See how important it is that we pray and sing praises unto the Lord. You might say, preacher, I really don't have nothing to praise Him about. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. Boy, I tell you what. I mean, we've got so much. We've got food to eat. We've got clothes to wear. We've got places. Lord's blessed much. But I'm telling you, if there's nothing else, if we don't have anything, and we've got salvation, we've got something to sing to the top of our lungs, we've got something to praise Him about, no matter how bad it is, no matter who beats on us, no matter who's after us, if we've got Jesus, we're in the majority. Glory, hallelujah. Praise His name this morning. See, when we go into a test and we pray and we sing praises and we lift up the name of the Lord, we'll come out with a testimony. But when we go in singing the blues, come on, we'll just come out with a moaning. We don't have the testimony of what Jesus has do and can do. See, it's easy for us to worship the Lord here. We all love the Lord. We're all saved. We're all on our way to heaven. And whoo, amen. All of us every now and then we'll get wound up and that hand will go up in the air and glory, hallelujah. God gets to moving, and as Preacher Cutshaw said, moving up and down the avenues of our soul, man alive, and it's easy to praise Him. But when we've been sitting at the doctor's office for an hour and a half, we had an appointment at 9:30, now it's 11 o'clock. Come on. It ain't so easy to praise Him, man, is it? When you're sitting in traffic, somebody behind you and somebody cut you off and listen over here and somebody stopped looking at the deers going up the road and you're in a hurry, you're 10 minutes late, it ain't real easy to praise Him in, is it, Brother Richard? Praise the Lord, it gets a little harder then, isn't it? Or when they come in with bad results from the doctor's office or your computer's crashed. We don't act like that's a big deal anymore, isn't it? Is it? Do we praise him in, or do we start singing the blues? See, I tell you, I'm preaching to the preacher, it's easy to start singing the blues, isn't it? It's easy to get down. It's easy, but I'll tell you what, this stuff that's causing the problem and bringing it about, and maybe even the people that the devil's using. See, I have never really dug into this message, and I've come out of this message, and I forgot to ask you the question to start with. I come out of this message with a whole idea, different idea of what I ever thought about this passage. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think that God sent the earthquake to that jail that night? Don't answer it, but I want you to think about it. What was his purpose of sending that earthquake? Was it to deliver Paul and Silas? I want you to think about it, and we'll talk about it a little later on. I wonder if some of the songs they were singing, some of the hymns, was maybe Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Boy, that's a good one to sing when they go to honking them horns. Praise the Lord. Seems like that one hit home more than any of them. What about Psalm 27, verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Why should I be afraid in the dungeon at midnight? Why should I be afraid at the doctor's office when they've brought me a bad report? Why should I be scared when the economy looks like it's going to go out? Why should I be afraid when it looks like we might get into a nuclear war? Because God's my strength. God's my deliverer. He's my buckler. He's my shield. He's everything. It's all about Him. And when it's dark and it's bleak and it don't look good and everything, and we don't have but two cans of beans left in the cabinets, woo, praise Him anyway. Glory, hallelujah. He deserves it. He is still in control. Won't look at. We'll be here all day if I don't get on with him. Verse 26 and 27. It says there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Want to here look at, we've looked at, they wasn't singing the blues, but I want to look at the heart of the matter. See, Paul and Silas had a song in their heart. They were in a bad shape, but they still had the joy. See, there's a difference between happiness and joy. I'm not always happy. It's hard to be happy when you've been in that doctor's office hour and a half. And you're supposed to be in there. That's one of my pet peeves. I'm sorry, but if you got an appointment, they sure don't like it if you're late. I'll go on. I'll get off that. But we're not always happy. But situations don't have nothing to do with our joy. What's going on has nothing to do with the joy of Jesus Christ in our heart. That knowing deep down inside that no matter what's coming our way, no matter what situation we're in, it's going to be all right. Because the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings has got this. He's still in control. God's still on the throne. He's still in charge. It's still God. The one that said, let there be light, is also the one that stepped out on the water and said, peace be still. Glory, hallelujah. He's the one that shut those bars in that jail that night. He's the one that come up beside me when my daddy passed away and I was on the way to the hospital, and I read Psalm 23. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. A comfort, power of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit of God, that tells us when it looks bad and it's not good and there's no good outcome, it's still going to be all right. God, they sung the hymns. God rocked the jailhouse with the earthquake. The doors flung open. The chains fell off. Woo-hoo, jailbreak. Boys, let's get out of here. Amen? Paul evidently had never seen a Bonnie and Clyde movie. Or some of these old gangster movies. When they jerk the bars off, you run out. Amen? And if a prisoner, if the jailer kills himself, so be it, we're free. Amen? Was this jailbreak for Paul and Silas? No. No. And guess what? When you're in the jail, when you're at midnight, and it looks like all hope's gone, and God starts rattling the cages, it's for somebody else most of the time. Praise the Lord. It's for somebody else. They took the licks. They took the beating. They took the bonds. They took all of this for somebody else. Sometimes, when it don't make sense, and it looks like God's turned his back on us, Lord, why? It's for somebody else. It'll be worth it. Praise the Lord. See, if Jesus can rock a jailhouse in Philippi, what can he do to bring us hope and comfort? If he can shake those prison doors, boy, he can break the chains off of my heart that's got me bogged down and brought down, and I just feel like giving up. You ever been there? You just feel like throwing up your hands. I've had all I can take. If he can break that jail loose, he can take care of that situation. If he can break that jail loose, he can save that one's astray. He can bring the one back in. And he can go up to the Father's, the deepest, darkest, uttermost of the whole wide world, and save the worst sinner in the world. He can reach that one and bring him in and make a saint out of him. Glory, hallelujah. What's that song? My God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. Then I want to take a minute and just look at the broken heart of the jailer. Verse 27 through 30. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Now I want you to get this. This is the jailer, the one that's jerked up in there, and he, boy, I could preach on this a while. He was following orders. The high of the magistrates told him to put him in and what to do. He was following orders. What's the Bible say in Romans 6? It says, whoever you are the servant of, you yield your bodies as members to, then you're the servant of them. So when folks that is serving sin, they're actually being manipulated by the devil. And when they mistreat us, they're just following orders like the prisoner, the jailer was. Amen? Now see, Paul didn't look at him as the jailer that was bringing all of this pain and inflicting anguish on him. He looked at him as a fellow sinner that hadn't found Jesus yet. Amen? We said, sir, we're all here. We've not nobody's left. Don't, whatever you do, don't take your life. So he knowed he had some hope for him. And that prisoner, he had been happy a little earlier. Now he was about to cash them all in. See, Jesus had sent these two old boys that didn't have no better sense to preach the gospel to everybody. They thought everybody could get saved, Jim.
Amen.
They just happened, just so happened, wound up in that jail. That jailer that needed the Lord. And then he said, there's something different. See, you remember I said a little bit ago, your peers are watching you. Also, the ones that's against you, when they watch you, and then when you're exalted and God does something through you, then they're humbled through it. Wow. And when God uses us and puts us in specific situations to be used, and we might have to take some conflict, we might have to be inflicted, we might have to take some pain, we might get a few bruises, a little bit of blood, we might get ridiculed, we might get thrown in jail, whatever the case may be, God's got somebody that's watching you, and how we respond to it, and when we come out, they'll be humbled through when God exalts us. Wow. Woo! Boy, I'm telling you, this is one of those things, the more you plow, the deeper it gets. See, God didn't forsake the jailer. He brought him to a point. And that's where a lot of folks say, why did God do this to me? Why did God let this happen? Why did God do this? He brings to a point, he brought this jailer to a point, to the realization that he needed a Savior. That he needed Jesus. And he used these two preachers to bring the point to him. And just so happened, when he goes at his lowest point, he was ready to kill himself. He was ready to give it up. They said, he said, you boys got something I don't have. What can I do to get it? You know what they told him? Nothing. Aren't you glad there ain't nothing we can do to get it? There's nothing that I can do to get salvation. Not one earthly thing except have faith and accept Jesus, but I can't do it. Before I go to the last point, there's something. How often do we cry out for revenge against those that are opposing us, against those that are may giving us the worst time, instead of sharing with them the forgiveness that we have? Amen. So often we want revenge. We want judgment. Come on, you got quiet on me now. And instead of saying, I've got what you need, let me share with you what Jesus done for me. See, I was in prison once. I was bogged down once. I had this problem once. And go from foe to friend. Amen. Praise the Lord. The last point. It's just 20 minutes long. I want to share with you one of my favorite rock songs. And this was a song that one of them, I believe, they sang. One of my favorite rock and roll songs, Calvin, is Victory in Jesus. There's victory in the rock. He's the rock of my salvation. He's the rock that I stand on. He's the rock where I get my strength. He's the rock where my foundation is. He's everything to me, and He means everything to me. Victory in Jesus. The top of the charts, ain't it? Glory, hallelujah. And that's where I believe that jailer chimed in and started singing with him, Victory in Jesus. He said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Believe in the rock. Psalm 40 says that He picked me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on the rock. Glory, hallelujah. Moses, when he wanted to see God's glory, he said, "Lord, let me see Your glory." And He said, "Well, you can look on my hinder parts," but the Bible says, and He put him on the rock, then back in the cliff. Boy, that rock's Jesus. It's all the hope that we'll ever have is Jesus. And when we try everything in our power, see, the jailer tried everything that he could do, and it wasn't good enough. Preacher Cutshaw always described believe as cling to, trust in, and rely on. And you know what? When I got digging into the Greek words, you know what it really meant? Cling to, trust in, and rely on. To really get in. To believe and trust in Him. Not just take Him as a good luck charm. Not just take Him as somebody we go and we meet at church once a week or twice a week or three times a week or whatever. But it's someone that we put all of our allegiance to, all of our trust, and we cling to Him. And without Him, we don't know what we would do if we didn't have Him. That's what believe means. The devils believe that He's God, but it don't save them. I heard it said that a guy missed heaven by 18 inches one time. He had it up here, but he never got it down here. They say the average person is about 18 inches from the brain to the heart. We can have a head full of knowledge and still be lost. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. We confess with their head and their mouth, but it's the heart of the matter. It's our heart. And when we get it in our heart, glory, hallelujah, then we can sing that famous rock song. There's victory in Jesus. What a name. I love to sing about the name of Jesus. It's the sweetest name. No other name will bring the comfort in a hospital room like the name of Jesus. No other name will dispel fears and cast them out of, and the fear out of your heart and your mind like the name of Jesus. No other name will bring the peace that the name of Jesus will bring. No other name can give you joy except Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The jailer and his family was baptized, saved and baptized. And I'll just take just a minute and I want to share with you the difference that God makes in a life. This jailer now in verse 30, he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" When God works on your heart, "sir" was one of the most expressions that they could bring up as honor. He then now has seen them in a new light. They were not just prisoners thrown into the dungeon. Now they were ministers of the gospel. And he seen them in a different light. And he said, sirs. And then in verse 33, the Bible says, then he washed their stripes. And then for 34, and if you really want to be a good friend, take them home and feed them. Praise the Lord. But I want to encourage you to read the rest of this chapter on down. See, they never did escape jail. The magistrates had to go back in and send word to let them go. And then Paul sent word back to them and said, you beat me openly. Now you want to send away secretly. You come yourself and may take me out of the jail. Never did. God's purpose in this whole thing was not to free them from the jail, but to save the one that was bringing in the infliction. Wow. What if they'd went in there with a bad attitude? What if they'd went in there with their lips all pooched out? Amen. And what if they'd have been grumbling and complaining at midnight instead of singing praises and singing good old gospel hymns? They'd have never won that jailer to the Lord. Whew. I shudder to think how many opportunities I've lost, Gary, with a bad attitude. God may have had them right at the point where they'd be saved. And old Timbo blowed it. I want you to remember something. If the jail starts rocking, God's a knocking. He's a knocking somewhere. He's touching somebody's heart. He's working in an area. And it may be for them, not us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. And